Oh, well, it's great to be here again. I'm just going to make myself a bit shorter than this stand is so I can actually see. So the first thing that I want to share this morning is that I am very tired, okay? I'm not in a great mood. I'm not in a great place in general. And in general, it's summed up with a simple sentence, which is, I am not good enough. Okay? That's how I'm going to start it today. Okay? I am not good enough. Now, I don't know about you, but have you ever been judged or felt like you're being judged? Yeah? A little bit? How did it feel? Was it good? No, I would agree with you. Did you enjoy the experience? If you knew that you were about to be judged and you had to sit through being judged, was that a good experience for you? No. Have you ever judged anyone else? Okay. How do we come to our decisions when we make those judgments? What do we use? Do we use all our expertise of years of study, all our life experience, our religion to help us judge other people? All through our lives, we're making judgments. What we think is right or wrong in each situation. We make judgments about other people for various different reasons. Okay, and as I said this morning, like when we're thinking about judgments, things like that, as far as I'm concerned, I am not good enough. Okay, and that's based on a load of other things that I'll share in a bit. But when we're talking about judgments, I thought we'll start a bit more light-hearted anyway. Before I've already sort of lowered the mood, I think, there. But let's bring it back up a little bit. Let's watch a quick video. And when I think about judgments, it always reminds me of X Factor. Okay? If you want to see judgments, that's a great place to go. So let's have a watch a quick video.
Hi, what's your name, darling?
My name is Susan Boyle.
Okay, Susan, where are you from?
I am from Blackburn near Bathgate, West Lothian.
It's a big town.
It's a sort of collection of... It's a collection of villages. I had to think there.
And how old are you, Susan?
I am 47. And that's just one side of me.
Okay, what's the dream?
I'm trying to be a professional singer.
And why hasn't it worked out so far, Susan?
I've never been given the chance before, but here's hoping it'll change.
Okay, and who would you like to be as successful as?
Elaine Page.
Elaine Page.
Like,
what are you going to sing tonight?
I'm going to sing I Dreamed a Dream from the Miserables.
Okay.
Big song.
Yeah? Yes.
I dreamed a dream in time gone by. When folks smiled, life was giving.
You just didn't expect that, did you? Did you? No.
I dreamed that love would never die. I dreamed that God would be forgiving. I was young and unafraid. When dreams are made and used and wasted, there was a ransom to be paid. No sun and sun, no wine untasted. But the tiger's come.
Look at that!
very much, Susan Pierce.
Without a doubt, that was the biggest surprise I have had in 3 years on this show. When you stood there with that cheeky grin and said, I want to be like Elaine Page, everyone was laughing at you. No one is laughing now. That was stunning, an incredible performance. Amazing. I'm reeling from shock about you two, but...
I am so thrilled because I know that everybody was against you. I honestly think that we were all being very cynical, and I think that's the biggest wake-up call ever. And I just want to say that it was a complete privilege listening to that. It was brilliant.
Susan, I knew the minute you walked out...
Oh, Simon!
...on that stage that we were going to hear something extraordinary, and I was right.
Got a lot of touch.
Susan, you are a little tiger, aren't you?
Oh, I don't know about that.
You are? I don't know about that. OK, moment of truth. Piers, yes or no?
The biggest yes I have ever given.
That is a throwback now, a few years that is. But I thought that gives the point perfectly. And that's only part of her journey, though, as well. Like, the start of that video, you could see just everyone thinking, no, they judged her straight away. This is going to be one of those joke performances that come on and we get to laugh at and get to have a good time at. But they were soon taken aback. But unfortunately, as well, if you followed the rest of like that series and stuff like that, she didn't keep that strong praise for her all the way through because she had ups and downs. And every time she had an up or a down, everyone was bouncing straight on her, judging her again. No, she's terrible. She's great. She's terrible. She's great. She's terrible. She's great. And it just always changed. No one knew whether she was great or not. But that's just the life, isn't it? That one moment we're the best people in the world, we're the best thing since sliced bread. The next week, those same people are telling us to go away. Because our judgments change. And I find X Factor incredible. It's one of those programs I don't watch. Okay, I might watch the last few rounds of it, but I'll never watch the start. I just hate it. I hate the fact that it's TV out of making fun of people. It's TV out of judging people, saying whether they're bad or good, and just being brutal and just coating this brutality in the fact that, well, they've come up on the stage, so it's all right to do it. Well, I need to do it because it's my professional judgment to do it and be really harsh to them because someone has to tell them. But this is this idea that we can do it as long as there's a reason. It's okay to judge them as long as there's a purpose behind that. As long as there's a mitigating factor, we're allowed to do it. And this comes under the first part of what I'm thinking about is our judgments. And as I said at the start, I'm sick of being judged at the moment, okay? That is really from the bottom of my heart, I am sick of it. If you don't know my situation in general, I am a teacher. Well, I'm not really a teacher anymore. I am unemployed, okay? So in September, I don't have a job. And that's because someone's made judgments over this year that I am not good enough. That's why I started with that sentence, okay? I am not good enough. I'm fine with that. Okay, it's really been a painful thing to go through over the past couple months. Very stressful, lots of work done. I've put my heart and soul into doing work. I've spent evenings, weekends doing work. But it's come to the same point. Okay, that's fine. That's life. That happens. But as I said before, when I got the job last year, the same people that were making these judgments were telling me, don't leave, don't ever leave, don't go. We can't live without you there. But it changes. People change. So I don't mind people trying to make things better, have a look at what you do, try and improve. But it's impossible to be perfect. That's why I can quite happily stand here and say, I am not good enough. You guys are not good enough. No one can be perfect. When we're put under the microscope, there's always something we're not doing or something we could be doing better. Even if we're living the perfect life, even if we think that person's amazing, I'm sure if we looked at their life, we'd think we can find one thing they could do that better. We need to improve on that. Well, you spent 5 hours doing that. You should have done 6 hours doing it. Okay? Well, you slept for 2 hours and you could have been doing something better during that time. In these situations, it's easy to feel like we're failing or even feel like we're not worth anything when these things go on. And in these situations, well, we get these human judgments. And the encouraging thing for us guys here is human judgments are flawed. Okay, because the people judging us aren't perfect either. often we might see some bias coming in there that's got an agenda behind it. We might even just disagree with what they're thinking because they don't really understand. Or they think they saw that and they're telling me what to do, but they've not seen all this done. So with my teaching thing, they check your books. Well, they checked those five. Yeah, there were things missing in those five, but I've got 200 other books in my classroom that are fine. They didn't check those 200. And you always get these things in your head of what we should be doing. Or maybe I know more than they do. I'm better than they are, so I don't really care what their judgment is. So not only are humans not perfect in the judgments, but we also get judged to different standards. And this again, I'm going to go back to when I was starting to try and find my first job teaching. I went for loads of interviews, and it was amazing. I went to this interview at a Catholic school. Okay, I thought, yes, that's good. They're going to value RE. It's going to be a great experience. Planned my lesson. I thought, Catholic school. Okay, they wanted me to teach Christianity. They don't just want it to be educational. Let's get some faith-based stuff in there as well as teaching-based. So I went through the lesson and said, oh, we're not going to take you through to the afternoon. Okay, we're after a bit less faith in the classroom. Okay, we want it to be a bit more educational, a bit more academic. Oh, that's fine. So I went away, went home, carried on applying for another job. Got another interview, yes. Another Catholic school. I know what I'm doing this time. Let's get the educational, the knowledge-based stuff there. Went into the classroom, delivered a great lesson, as I thought, sorry, we're not going to take you through to the afternoon. There wasn't enough faith in that lesson for us. It's like, well, what do you want me to do? And that's just one job. That's my experience as a teacher. But I'm sure you've all got the same experience in whatever area of life you worked in. One person goes, that's a great job you're doing there. Or can you do it this way? Why have you done it that way? You shouldn't do it that way. Do it the way you were doing it before. People keep changing their minds. You never know what standard you're going to be judged to. Because people have different prejudice before them. They have different expectations. They have different experience of it. And again, as a teacher, I know this well. We do one system. Someone comes along and tells us that's not good enough. We start this new system of working. Then someone else comes into power in government and says, why are you doing that? Let's go back to the old way of doing it and get everything back to the way it was. So I think it's probably about time we had a look at a story from the Bible. I'm just going to read you the story. I'm fairly sure you'll agree it is in the Bible, and it's a very popular story. Okay, and it says this, on one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What's written in the law, he replied, how do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. You've answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself. So he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? So first and foremost, this person has made a judgment that he is good enough. Though he kind of knew at the back of his head he might not be. So I wanted just to make sure that he is good enough, that he did know best. And this is the story Jesus told him. A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place, the man, and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he travelled, came where the man was. And when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Which of these three do you think was the neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The expert in law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. See, I love that story. It's all about loving your neighbour. But in the back of it, it's all about not judging other people, not expecting things. And again, it's a bit of a warning to us Christians as well. And again, all these parables, you have different readings. The warning for us is the two people who didn't help were the Christians, the Jews. Those people who serve this loving God, who's told people to love others, have mercy, respect the poor. Okay? That's all through the Old Testament, all through the Jewish Bible, and these are the people who walk past someone who's been attacked and mugged. Is that the same for us today? Are we those people that might walk past someone in need, passing away so we're not seen, we don't feel guilty ourselves? I think that's why they crossed over to the side of the road. It's like when you see someone asking for money in the street. You don't walk close to them because then you've definitely ignored them. Okay? You go as far away because you are still ignoring them, but they don't know you're ignoring them. Okay? That's what these people did. The news there, they ignored him. But then the one person you didn't expect to help, the Samaritan, the enemy of the Jewish people, he stopped and helped. In this time, people were judging again, judging those around you, people's behavior. Well, that person's Muslim, they're going to do this. That person's black, they're going to do this. That person's white, they're going to do this. That person's a Christian, they're going to do that. That person's a woman, they're going to do this. That person's a man, they're going to do this. All these judgments, all these things that fall down because our judgments don't matter. Unfortunately, though, I have some more bad news for you. Not only are humans judging us all the time, and I'm going to say something that is quite unpopular to say, and it's unfashionable to say at the moment, but God judges every one of us. I think we hide that away a lot of time in churches. We like talking about how God loves, God's so forgiving, God's so kind, God's so merciful, God will forgive everything. Yeah, that's true, but God judges all people. We see it throughout the Bible. God is a judge. Now, when we think about God judging us, that's a different kettle of fish. And when I say it's bad news, it's very bad news. Because what does God want from us? Humans have these different ideas and they want us to be working hard. They want us to be just getting on with our daily jobs, making sure we start at the right time, don't be late and everything like that. But what does God require? And in that passage, that parable of the Good Samaritan, it says quite clearly the two things that God wants from us. If we put everything on just two things, love God, love others. Now, I don't know about you, but I think I failed at that. And again, I'm not good enough. I haven't done that. I'm not doing that well now. I said with my situation, it's really hard to love other people when they're telling you bad all the time. It's really hard to be loving and kind to those people and not talk badly about those people when you're getting these judgments all the time pushed on you. But the problem is, God is then judging me on how I'm judging others. And now, their judgments and the judgment I've had recently just means basically I've got a long holiday. That's all it means, and I've just got to find somewhere else to work. That's no huge thing really, is it? God's judgment, on the other hand, that's the difference between life and death. That's a big judgment. And again, when we think about this idea of love, just in case those people think, yeah, I'm fine, I can do it. I've not grabbed a Bible up here, so I'm just going to steal one. When I say steal, I mean borrow from the pew. If you want to turn to 1 Corinthians 13. I won't read from the King James. So 1 Corinthians 13, those people probably know this passage. A lot of people know this passage. It's the one you hear at weddings all the time as a great encouragement, as a real feel-good passage. Whenever I hear the words 1 Corinthians 13, though, I always think, oh no, okay? I always start feeling a bit guilty, a bit nervous, and start shuffling my feet a bit. Because actually, why on earth would this be written in one of the letters to a church? And the simple answer is because people weren't doing this. So have a think about this. When we're meant to be loving others, loving God, and then this is our definition of what love is in 1 Corinthians 13. Okay, so if I speak in the tongues of men and angels but have not love, I am only a resounding or clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It doesn't envy, it doesn't boast, it isn't proud, isn't rude, it's not self-seeking, it isn't easily angered, keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. So the challenge is, when we're thinking about these judgments of God, let's think about this. Let's think how we measure up. Are we patient? Are we kind? Are we envious? Do we boast? Are we proud? Are we rude? Are we self-seeking? Do we become angry easily? Do we keep records of wrongs? Do we delight in evil? Do we protect? Do we trust? Do we hope? Do we persevere? And might I suggest to you that at some point, all of you are going to say, well, no, I don't measure up to that standard. So if we carry on thinking about God's judgments, one thing that I'm going to say now, this is where I'm going to start trying to make us feel a bit happier maybe, because actually, I'm still not good enough. Like, nothing's changed, okay? I'm not good enough according to humans, I'm not good enough according to God's, what God wants from me. So it's not a good situation. In Amos, it talks about this, that Amos had this vision, the Lord standing by a wall that had been built true to plumb, with a plumb line in his hand. And in it, he asked him, what do you see, Amos? A plumb line, he replied. The Lord said, I am setting a plumb line among my people Israel. I will spare them no longer. Now, I'm sure you're all experts in building. You know exactly what a plumb line is. It's great for wallpapering as well. Okay? But basically, it's where you get attached piece of string to something high up, top of your wall, top of your ceiling, stuff like that. You put a weight on the bottom of it, and then let gravity do its work, and you've got a perfectly straight line going down. And then when you're building your wall, you build it up against the line, so you've got a perfectly straight wall. Or if you're doing your wallpaper, and you've got a nice, perfectly straight thing there. Okay? And hopefully your wall's straight, otherwise it's not really working either, because then you've sort of got a wall like that, and then it doesn't work. But when we're thinking about this, again, God is judging. God does have a standard. He wants that straight line there. He wants us to be there. And when God said he was setting a plumb line among his people, he was trying to declare an end to their attempts to justify what they're doing. Okay? With all these judgments, I spent ages trying to justify why I was doing this, why I was doing that at school. Like, why I was doing this, why wasn't I doing that? What was the reason behind it? Well, I couldn't do that because of that. Oh, I must have missed that one. Oh, I'm sorry, I mustn't have had those books. That's why I missed that question that I was meant to have marked or whatever. I was coming to all these reasons, all these excuses. And God doesn't want us to do that. God said, no, here's the measure, here's the line. Okay, this Bible tells us exactly what we need to know, how God wants us to live. It's not a mystery, we don't just guess at what God wants. But he wanted to get rid of the crooked ways. He was setting a standard. He doesn't negotiate, he doesn't change the whims of culture. So just because today's culture says certain things are okay, doesn't mean that God's changed. I'm sorry about that, people who like following culture. We don't change the Bible because we've changed the culture. We might start interpreting it in different ways and thinking through it a bit more and how it applies today, but it doesn't change the message. The message is the same. God's law is the plumb line which we determine right and wrong. Just as a carpenter's line is not subject to the opinions and frustrations of the worker, it doesn't matter as soon as the worker goes, no, that isn't straight. Well, look at the line. The line's the judge, not humans. As I said before, humans are great, different standards. Those two interviews, they wanted different things. Good news for us, God wants the same from everyone. It doesn't matter who you are, God wants the same from each of us. And the thing is, though, we need to try and live up to God's plumb line. One thing I'll just say about this, though, just a bit of encouragement. I like this image of a wall being built, and we must make sure this wall is straight. That's why we've got a plumb line. Any good builders here, or good knowledge of building, what happens to a wall that's not straight? It's going to fall over. What's going to happen to a person who's not living according to God's laws, who's living in a crooked way? They're going to fall. God's laws aren't there to judge or to make us feel bad. They're there to protect and help and guide us. So I'm going to draw a quick diagram now. just to see our situation that we're in now. And unfortunately, we've said, humans don't like us. God doesn't seem to really like what we're doing at the moment because we're a bit crooked. Let's do a bit of artwork. There we go. I've not used one of these for years, it feels like. So, I apologise if people can't see what I draw here, but it's going to be a great image. It's going to change your life forever. I promise you that. Okay? So here is this idea, and this is an expert drawing. Here is us over here. Okay? For those people who can't see over there we go. I am an expert at art. Okay? Now, unfortunately, throughout time and everything like that, you've read the Bible, you know the story of the fall, you know the story of humans going against God all the time. And what that does is that separates us from God, really simply. Okay? God is perfect. Okay? God is over here. He is perfect. He is the king of all creation. Okay? Now, if we're not perfect, we cannot be with God. That is simple as it is. Okay? It says in the Bible, the wages of sin is death. Okay? It also says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Not a single one of us here is good enough. I am not good enough. Okay? And I'm not going to pretend to be good enough for anyone, because I'm not. Okay? There are things I do wrong at school. There's things I do wrong at home. There's things I do wrong at church. Okay? I'm not good enough. But that's not the story of the Bible. The story of the Bible doesn't end with us not being good enough. But that is an important part of the story, that we realise we're not good enough. Because we all know the story of the Bible has good news. That Jesus came. Okay? That he died on a cross. Okay? They built a bridge for us to get across there. I cannot get there on my own. You cannot get there on your own, no matter how good you are. One of my favourite comedians, Bill Bailey, as part of his comedy, he talks about this idea that people aren't good enough. He says, well, I'm a good person in general. Every now and then I leave the lids off jam and stuff like that, but I'm a good person. I don't understand why God would judge me. No one's good enough. God is perfect. My image of sin for those people normally is a balloon. Okay? Imagine balloon is your relationship with God. Okay? And while that balloon's intact, your relationship's all happy. Okay? But then we think of sins, and I think John's talked about this before from the front, about this different level of sins. We've got this idea, this is a bad sin, this is an alright sin, this isn't too bad. But my image, in my head, telling a little lie, that's like a pin. Okay? Whereas maybe killing someone could be like a chainsaw. Okay? If you introduce both those things to the balloon, they do exactly the same thing to your relationship with God. They build this chasm between us. How great the chasm that lies between us. How high that mountain, if you want to imagine it, of a mountain between us, I cannot climb. In desperation, okay, we turn to heaven. We turn to Jesus, who builds that bridge for us to cross over. And that's the good news for us today, that God will judge us. Okay? But it doesn't matter if we're not good enough, if we've put our hope, our faith, our trust in Jesus. God doesn't treat us as our sins deserve. And just as we come to close, I just want to read from a psalm. And it says here, this is the good news, okay? He doesn't treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. So the good news today that I just wanted to share and encourage people by is that we're not good enough. That's good news. None of us are good enough. So sometimes we feel really bad because things are going bad in our lives, that it's not good. It's just awful. I can't cope with this. It's horrible. Everyone has that same problem. But the great thing is we have the solution to it. That when God judges us and we love Jesus and we follow Jesus, we've dedicated our life to Jesus, he doesn't see the rubbish in our lives. He sees our heart for him. He sees Jesus' love. He sees Jesus' perfect life in us. That we can be with him for eternity. So as we come to finish now, I do want to sing that song, How Great the Chasm That Lay Between Us. Just remembering that thing that actually, my sermon this morning is simply just a presentation of the gospel. And if you want to respond to that this morning, just as we're singing, just come towards the front. Okay, just stand there. And as we finish, then we'll pray with you. Just pray that you can actually accept Jesus, knowing that we don't deserve it. It's nothing we've earned, nothing we did that was great that means we can go to heaven. That's not how Christianity works. But we just turn to God. We go, actually, God, I'm not good enough. I need you. You're all I need. So let's stand and sing together. Say, if the board's in your way, I don't know if someone can just move it to the side or...